The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
I love when people think outside the box to solve, bring forth good solutions. And one of them is to evaluate the efficiency of anything, right? That's part of DOGE. We're seeing at the national level. But what about SEPTA operations? We've talked so much about SEPTA and the budget issues, which are a huge problem, chronic problem. So here's somebody joining us now who has a great solution. This is Pennsylvania House Republican leader Jesse Topper. So we're calling you the Topper Train, but Republican got the whole thing for you here. Well, happy Friday.
I'm sure that's not the only thing I'm being called, but I appreciate it.
Good one. Republican from the Bedford, Fulton area, Pennsylvania here. But this is a co-sponsorship memo that you've put in there in advance of introducing legislation. What do you want to do? What's your idea to try? I think this is great because you're trying to save SEPTA and at the same time serve those who need to ride SEPTA, but also save the taxpayers. Isn't that a win-win?
Right. We're looking for a long-term solution, long-term viability for this system. My grandfather lived in Philadelphia. I love the greater Philadelphia region. It needs mass transit, as any major city in America does, and we need Philadelphia to be successful in terms of our overall economy in Pennsylvania, and that's what this is about. We need new solutions because at the current pace, both at our state budget and then, of course, with SEPTA budget, we have a system that's in crisis, and I don't think we have a good answer for it. You can't continue every couple years to be in a situation where we're saying we have this amount of money that can go into one aspect of our transportation system that I don't think is achievable. So what are the options? Well, the options are what you're hearing from SEPTA, which is they're going to have to cut services fairly dramatically, raise fees, which might be a part of the solution as well. But we also need to look outside the box and open this discussion up and see if there's a better way we can do it. I'm not talking about privatizing the entire system, but a public-private partnership could be the only way to bring long-term viability and stability to this system that's so desperately needed.
So especially for the buses, and I think that's part of what you're talking about, we think about rideshare services, how far we've come when we think about, you know, we just didn't have that. It did not exist. There's that piece of it. And I always talk about the fact that, in fact, in Philadelphia, our school children at the high school level and many at the middle school level don't get that yellow school bus, you know, like everybody else does, but rather take SEPTA. And part of that is that they've created a situation where you have a guaranteed customer being the school kids because they get a voucher or card, whatever that looks like. And so they get the free transport. That's their school bus, if you will. And that brings us to two questions. That is, one of them is safety. Do you think this would increase the safety? The other one I saw I think the Philadelphia Inquirer had a headline this morning that I saw earlier that said their studies show that if you make SEPTA cuts, that it would make your commute, as far as if you're a driver, a real nightmare. I mean, increasing congestion. So what do you say to those two different things?
Sure. I mean, if there's not going to be transit services available, employers will still find a way to get employees to work, and employees will still find a way to get there, and people will still try and get in the city. So, yes, I would think those service cuts would create more traffic, which, again, is why we need to look at a system that is stable moving forward. In terms of the bus option for school kids, once again, we need to ensure that there is an option there. Look, at the end of the day, we need to get people from point A to point B. The name on the side of the bus or how that the investment strategy is behind that bus, that doesn't matter. But we need to be able to get it from point A to point B. I don't think people are sitting around, you know, worrying about how it happens. They're worrying about if it will happen. And we're trying to open this up to guarantee that it will be happening now and into the future. I mean, look, I'm on the, you know, when I come into the city, I'm on the Schuylkill. I don't know that there's any more congestion that can be had there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the, just because of where it is in between, you know, by the Schuylkill River, and just geographically, right, we're an old city, and so we're kind of stuck. But I know that this has to get the approval of the board and have legislative oversight and all that good stuff. But where do you get this idea as far as, I mean, would you do a pilot program, or are there other places that you look to find a model for this kind of situation where you'd have a partnership with some privatization?
This has been done before around the country in several spots right now. It's currently Denver. It's being done. It's been done some places with commuter bus services in Maryland. And there have been various iterations around the country that have tried and not been successful, which is a very good way to look and see what went wrong and what went right. I think we have the opportunity to do our own thing here in Pennsylvania, to take a look and get some input from those investors that might be part of that private in the private-public partnership, and say, how can we do this better? Because we have to. We can't continue down this route, if you will, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in part, does this have to do with union jobs? Because I think that's probably the first thing we're going to hear about as somebody who's, I've been covering, you know, SEPTA union strikes and all that, you know, going on over the years. But are you hearing yet concern from the unions who say, okay, when we hear any privatization conversation, are you going to cut the union jobs?
Sure. I think that's always going to be a concern, but I would say that if the system collapses, those jobs aren't going to be available, union or otherwise. I think that's what we have to look at. It's our responsibility as public policymakers to have solutions to problems. We have a big problem. We have a system that is in crisis. And, oh, by the way, not just this year, yeah, right? This has been an every couple year occurrence in the past. It will be an every couple year occurrence in the future, and I just don't see a realistic approach to saying that, you know, every couple years we're going to do this at $165 million or more. And that's only one ad. That's not even talking about the roads and bridges issue that we're dealing with. It's not even addressing the one of the highest gas taxes in the nation, or some of the highest tolls on the turnpike that you would see on any road in the nation, or the transit systems in Pittsburgh and other places around. We're talking about one aspect being funded at a huge percentage at the state level. If the state can't continue to do that, what happens? We have to have another option so that we can ensure that there is a transit system that's stable in the Philadelphia region.
Can you give us, can you update us on what's going on about the, as far as the review, if you will, of the security regarding the Pennsylvania governor's mansion? It was that video of the arson fire with the sleeping governor, Josh Shapiro, his wife Lori, their children. Is horrifying. But what can you tell us about the review of the security? That's the big question.
Well, I'm glad they're doing an independent third-party review of the security, what went wrong and what they're going to change in the future. We did a letter, myself, as well as some of the chairman of the committees that would be the appropriate oversight committees of such an inquiry. I was a little disappointed with the response of the administration, which essentially said, no, this is not something, we're not going to share the results of the review. Look, I understand when it comes to the new procedures in place to protect the governor, I'm not asking for that to be made public. But I do think the legislative leaders, and particularly the chairman of these committees, we need to understand what went wrong. Yeah. We need to have accountability and transparency into how in the world this was able to happen, as you said, with the governor and his family sleeping upstairs. So the accountability piece needs to be made public, I think, for everybody, so that we can, you know, we can show that we are being transparent. And in terms of some of the other issues, while it might not be public, I do believe members of the legislature need to see what's going on, because at the end of the day, not only are we funding it, but this is an attack on our government. Yeah. And I think the government leaders have the right to know as much as humanly possible from this independent report. And I think we're going to be continuing to seek those answers and to look for ways that this information can be shared with us.
I know it was Jeffrey Miller, right? He led the Pennsylvania State Police back in the day under then Governor Rendell. And then didn't he work for the NFL? I was just trying to remember, right? We weave in, of course, the draft and day two today as we go through that. But so in that case, he'd be paid about, what, 24, 25 grand. And then it would be his, you know, initial consulting firm. So what would he do? What's the proposal right now? He would just give the information to just the state police and not make it
just
public?
Just the state police and the governor would be, as of right now, the only agencies that would have access to the audit findings, and that's just not going to fly. I understand that certain protocols to protect the governor are not going to be made public. But the accountability and transparency into what happened and how it happened, you would be shocked at how many people. It was the number one question I'm getting asked back in my district. Mm-hmm. How did this happen? I've got no answer for them. We need those answers.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Pennsylvania House Republican leader Jesse Topper, what's going on with the, what do you see in the future with regard to the budget here, with Shapiro's budget and the budget talks? I do so much about especially regulation in Pennsylvania, lifting those regulations, drill, baby, drill. If you can give us, is there hope for that, or what do you see in the future?
Look, I don't care what the numbers are, whether it's an increase, whether the numbers stay the same from last year moving forward. There's no increase to programs. The cost of care, we just do a cost of care budget. It doesn't matter. With our current economic growth, we simply will not be able to sustain this level of spending into the future. So we have to turn our economy around in Pennsylvania. The best way to do that is unleash our energy sector, as you said, by reducing regulation, by getting government out of the way, making sure that any bureaucracy that's out there is helpful to actually getting power generation up and running so that we can support our grid, so that we can support family-sustaining jobs. If that's not a part of it, I just don't see how these budgets going into the next 3, 4, 5 years are sustainable.
Well, Representative Jesse Topper, I know you're you and your wife have two boys. My husband and I have two boys, and you've been involved in Boy Scouts. Are you Eagles fans? Do you guys watch the draft, can I ask? I know you're a high school football coach, right?
Yeah, we bleed black and gold in this area. And so we need to find a quarterback here over the next couple rounds.
You want to give us a second rounder for Tanner McKee? We'll send him over your way if you want him.
Okay. Well, yeah, well, go. I understand you guys are Go Birds. We're Go Steelers out here.
That's all right. You know what I love as a parent? I know you're also a football coach, but I've personally, my husband and I have watched it for 25 years of marriage just because it's inspirational to see these young men at the top of their game. Some of them I know because, you know, local high schools and whatnot, but to see the families and the support of these young men, it's really wonderful.
It is. It's a cool experience.
Well, listen, thank you so much. I hope you have a blessed weekend. Hope you come back, Representative Jesse Topper.
Thank you so much.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.